Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good morning, or good evening. Jim Jarvis here with HJT Straight Talk, and along with me is my co-host Han. Han, how are you?
I am doing marvelous, Jim. Marvel.
You know, it'd be amazing if I knew what time zone I was in.
Yeah. Well,
it would be really amazing.
The long holiday kind of throw you off a little bit too.
Yeah, I hope everyone is okay with the major storms that have ripped through the country. I know that the folks down in central Ohio around the Dayton, Columbus area really got hit pretty hard. We actually have driven through that area, and it looked pretty bad. So obviously our thoughts and prayers are with everyone. Hope electricity can get back on, because it's nasty to not have electricity when it's this crappy hot. But tonight's show is our second part two of our three-part series, Straight Talk episode number 34, a construction manager. Is this who I really need? So we're going to have a real thorough, interesting discussion of what the heck a construction manager is, how you're going to get one if that's who you decide you want to use, are they the person or persons that you should have on your team, how in the world do they get paid, and how do you even set their fees, and, you know, just a thorough understanding of the pros and cons. If you go back and listen to last week's episode, we talked about design build. Design build system, real quickly, is one where the design build construction entity takes total control. They run the project from head to toe. They hire all the individuals, including the design team, a single point of contact. They have a contract with you, the owner, and that's how they kind of progress through the system. So you can go back and catch up on that. But I did promise that during last week's show, we talked about all those things that supposedly a design build company can give you. And I says, but we have a better way. And that better way, in our opinion, is a construction manager. Now, we've got quite a lot to go through tonight. And we're going to do our very best to help at least get the main points out. But first of all, what in the world is a construction manager? What do they do? And let's kind of look back into the actual title itself. Their job, in a nutshell, is to manage the complete construction project from day one. So the very first important thing you need to know is a construction manager, a true construction manager, is someone that's part of your team, right up there with your architect, your designer, your main core team folks. Go back to the team building episode podcast. You can go through that. But a construction manager is someone who sits at that table when we are talking about the design. When we are making decisions, that construction manager is responsible for one very important thing, and that's the review of everything that is talked about during the design process and putting dollars and schedule to what's being talked about. Now, we've worked with this a lot before, haven't we, Han? And there's a lot of advantages to that. Do you want go ahead and tell our listeners some of the advantages to having that person sitting at the table from day one?
I think part of the advantage, you'd say, first of all, architects and designer, we design buildings. We may not necessarily be current with the everyday cost on products and systems. Having a project manager or construction manager on the team, that individual can fill that gap. So if there is a product that is being proposed or a system being proposed for the building, the construction manager can put dollars and cents to make sure that, you know, that the budget, the design and the budget coincide, you know, their balance. And at the same time, they can also provide input on the specific on schedules and stuff like that. So the biggest advantage is they can provide guidance that's related to costs up front. So everything that's done, everything that's been proposed and designed and selected and decided on, will work and be within the parameter of the established budget. Jim?
Absolutely, you're exactly correct in a nutshell. Now here's a prime example. Early on in a design project, we have a piece of property. And the dentist has said, I want to have this 12 ops, whatever, you know, the whole nine yards. You know, this is what I'd like to accomplish. Here's my piece of property. My piece of property has kind of a slope to it. So the first question Han and I would have is, okay, is this a opportunity for a, I'm going to call it a two-story solution, but a solution where the main floor is where is everything happens, and then all the ancillary support stuff might happen in the lower level, or a partial basement, or something to that effect. Well, that could have a major impact on the overall look of the building, the shape of the building, the size of the building, and how it sits on the property. Without the construction manager helping you make that decision, you have no idea what the costs are as it relates to that, other than some educated guesses or maybe some thoughts you might get from someone outside the team. So you need to have that information so that you can make educated decisions on the direction that the design would go. And this is early on in the original design process. So let's say the construction manager, which, by the way, so many people, a lot of times, like Han, you did, call them a project manager. They're kind of different. A construction manager, a true construction manager, is not a project manager, and we'll talk about that later. But the construction manager will say, all right, if you want to do a partial basement or if you need to be able to do a complete basement or something like that for the structure, here's what the cost is going to be for a particular square foot. You'll be able to identify the materials that might be used, you know, say historically in this region, because a lot of times you'll hire construction managers from the local to your specific region. And he'll say, okay, historically we have these kind of soils. We end up with this kind of foundation system. We end up with these kind of costs. And then you compare that to the cost of what it would be, for example, to build all of that square footage on one floor. And then you have the right information to be able to make a decision to say, yes, I should go with a partial basement, or I should go with a full slab, or I should go with a crawl space. All of those things are there at the table. So he or she is very crucial to that. Now, being this is a team concept, you need them from day one because, you know, Han and I can make all kinds of great designs based upon all kinds of, quote, assumptions. But if we as a group make the wrong assumption, you theoretically could be costing yourself some money and building less of a building for the dollars. We all know that it's substantially cheaper to build part of your building underground than it is up on the upper floor because you don't have exterior finishes. You don't have a lot of things that you don't need to have down in underground. And so that's a substantial way of saving some money. I look at construction managers as potential money savers because their job, in a nutshell, from day one, is to value engineer the project from day one. Unlike a design build company who will go in and design the project, then come back in and say, okay, guys, we need to cut out this, 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 and this because we can't make our number. By the way, all of that happens without your input and knowledge. That all happens back behind the curtain and the closed door. And so that individual, that team member is there letting you know everything from day one. So they're going to set the budget. They're going to give you cost control. All those things that the design builder said that they're going to, they would give you. But the most important part about that is it's all open book. Now, how important is that, Han?
It saves you a lot of heartburns. Okay, fewer surprises. You know upfront the affordability of the project, whether there will be money left to add more nicety to the project, or whether to pull back some of it because the design and all the things you want is beyond your financial reach. But knowing it up front really, really help to rein in all the wishes and all of the, to help you make the critical decisions. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're, let's say, on a budget, which all of our clients are, we haven't been lucky enough to have a client who didn't have a budget or an unlimited one. And so you got to have a budget, and that budget's going to be set by, go back to our previous podcast and talking with your financial institution, your accountant, all those other good folks, that'll set your budget. And once that budget is established, then you say, okay, guys, this is what I can accomplish. This is what I need to have. And then the input from the construction manager, along with our design work, we kind of work hand in glove. For that. So another prime example of how this works is, let's talk about the wall. Exterior wall system, for example. A lot of our clients say they'd like to have masonry on an exterior wall system. All right, that's great. Masonry is a good product. It's a very attractive, long-lasting. Once it's up and done right, you never really have to touch it again. A masonry wall system is a high-quality, established material. But how does it get put up? What's the substrate? What's the wall behind it? What's the guts of the wall? There could be a dozen different ways to build the wall and still cover it with brick. Your construction manager will tell you, in today's market, with this understanding, to get these kind of ratings of insulation factors, this is what's the most economical today. I mean, the old days, when material was plentiful, you do it one way. Nowadays, material is costly, and as well as labor is very costly. So it's like, okay, what's the best way to accomplish that? Maybe the old day of being a block wall that's covered with a brick veneer on the outside is not the way to go, because there's other systems that are out there. There could be a steel stud system. There could be a insulated SIPS panel system. There could be ICFs, which are insulated concrete forms that stay in place. I mean, there's a multitude of potential wall systems. Each one of them have a cost, an initial and an install cost, a life cost, meaning how long will the product take to begin to degrade, and then I have to put more money into it, and an install cost, because in the sense of speed, how fast does one wall go up after another? The construction manager is there to manage all of that. He will say, type wall A works for the budget, but it takes 2 months longer than type B wall, which maybe is a little higher than budget, but I can get it done in 2 months less. Well, 2 months less equates to a lot of dollars. We've talked about that. Go back to the podcast before. Doesn't it, Han? How much per operatory are you typically losing in a month's day?
About $20,000 to $30,000.
Exactly.
In production.
If you have a 10 operatory practice and you lose $30,000 a month per op, what's my math? $300,000 a month?
Yeah.
That I've lost. You never get back. So you got to evaluate all of that and put it together. So a construction manager is that an individual that is very highly skilled in the management of a project, is highly skilled in communication and being able to work together with the team. That means he's not in charge, but he is a very key player. He's an individual that on a day-to-day basis knows exactly what's happening in the construction world and what things are costing, how long it takes to get there, how you can get enough laborers to do those kind of things. He's knowledgeable in all those things. Now, here's an interesting little thing. Go ahead, Ron.
Jim, when you say that communication is one of the areas that are critical in the whole design construction process.
Absolutely. If the construction manager cannot communicate and is not able to express the input that's necessary into the team, it's the wrong construction manager. You have to have someone who understands construction, but also understands how to relate all of that information that maybe is in his head. He could be a great technical guy and understands all that stuff, but you know, we've all been around them. You know, technical guys are so smart and so knowledgeable, but they can't communicate. They can't get that information out of their technical head and portray it to the team. You've got to have someone who can do both, or a team. Now, there's an important part we just brought out. A construction manager may not be a single individual person. It may be an organization, it may be an office, or it definitely might be a team. You know, you could have a construction management organization that you have one person who's the leader, and that's the project leader of the construction management team, but he or she is supported by multiple individuals. There could be the estimator, there could be the technician, there could be a lot of people behind the scenes that are helping give him information that then he gives to the team. Now, you might say, holy crap, that sounds like a lot of money. Well, it's just like anything. You know, what do we say, Han? You pay for what you get?
Yes. Yes, yeah. That's true. That is very true.
Construction manager.
I mean, time is money, and knowledge is money.
Yeah, and exactly. And the big thing is, you get the right one, they will end up saving you more time and money because of their knowledge and as part of the team from day one than any other possible solution. We've seen it so many times historically. A really high quality construction manager helps the project to smoothly flow. It's done in the shortest possible time. All of those things save you money. And so, yeah, you have to pay for a construction manager. It's not something that comes free. It's not something that's included with the like a design build fee or the overall cost. It's not part of the cost itself. It's a special fee that you pay directly, just like you pay the architect's fee or the civil engineer's fee. You're hiring them directly. Well, there's two advantages to that. You hire them directly, they work for you. You pay their check. And so they're loyal to you, unlike in the design build process where everybody's loyal to the design builder and the design builder is the only one that is that's held responsible to you. But in reality, he's in charge. So even though he makes you think you're in charge, in reality, he's in charge. The construction manager is not in charge. He only manages the work. You, the owner, keep all control. That's the most important thing, because when I said open book, most people went, well, what the heck is open book? Well, open book is a real unique thing. When you go out to get, let's say you're getting drywall bids. You're getting bids from five or six different drywall companies to do the drywall work on your project. Each one of those will give you each one of those will give you a price quote based upon the design, and you'll be able to look at that and evaluate that. You'll look at what their cost is going to be. You'll look at things like their unit cost. You'll look at their labor rates. You'll look at the schedule that they're giving you. All of that stuff comes in from a bid, and a construction manager will tabulate that all up, have it all prepared, explain it to you so that you can make educated decisions. Here's another important, very, very important thing. You pick who you want on your job. You're not stuck with whoever shows up on the job. So if you have a special relationship with a drywall company, I keep using drywall, well, it's an electrician. You have a special relationship with an electrician. Maybe an electrician is a client. He's a patient. And he wants to bid your project. And because he likes you so much, he's going to give you an extra a good price. Well, that's directly put into the bid. It's directly seen on paper because it's open book, and that directly comes to your, to you and your bottom line. As opposed to a design build process, your electrician gives the design build guy his price, and the design build guy says, well, great. The second bid was $20,000 higher. Well, I'll just put into the budget your bid plus the $20,000, and I'll keep the $20,000 in my pocket, and nobody will be worse to wear. Because the going price maybe in that market was original bid plus $20,000. You never get to know that. In an open book scenario, you know everything. You are the individual that's in total control and in charge, but at the same time, you're not alone. So, I mean, how good is that, Vaughn? I mean, just think about that. How good is that to be able to be in control and have all these people helping you make the right decision?
I think the open book philosophy, Jim, is that it takes away the doubt or the thought that you may be cheated. Or there is some, monkey business going on between contractors and people involved in the project. The open book tells you who bid, how much they bid, and things like that, so you know exactly where the money is going. Often the decisions are made, or the people that's invited to the team are usually have been qualified by the construction manager. So they come with a desired skill set. The construction manager would know who would be, what organization would be the ideal people to deliver the, the finished product at the price range and the desired quality. So all of that, in a nutshell, is value added to the project. But in the open book, definitely tell you where everything is and everything is accounted for. There is no, there is no guessing. Jim?
Yeah, there's no guessing. There's no unknowns. You know where every dime is where it's going and what it's paying for. Now, you can say, holy crap, that's a lot of stuff to know. Yeah, it is. But this is a complicated process. It's a complicated business. Developing and building an office is a complicated thing. That's why you have, that's where you're hiring professionals. You're hiring the architect and the designer. You're hiring a quality construction manager who helps you through all this stuff and prepares all of it and can communicate all of that so that you're in charge and understand what's going on. Now, they'll give you recommendations. You might say, okay, I've got five bids here. Which one is the best? Well, they're going to give you a recommendation saying, okay, this particular subcontractor has been in the business for 5 years and has done seven projects very similar to yours. They have a really good rating from a financial institution. You know, everything checks out. I check their references, so on and so forth. Whereas in maybe this bidder is so many $1,000s less, but they've never done a dental office, or they've got a less than perfect financial rating, or two of their references said they were good, but one said, he couldn't get enough people on the job, and it cost me some time. All that information is gathered by that construction manager and brought to the decision-making processes, and that happens to be at the bidding side. Here's an example of what happens during the design. Han and I are plugging away on the design stuff, you know, creating all those wonderful documents that display your needs. This is what you want this building to look like, how it wants to look and the shape. They'll take those documents to key individuals within their sphere, and those subcontractors will give them real-time costs on the majority of the project itself very early on. And so what happens is, what Han and I like to do is we do our initial design work. We create that schematic design, which has the floor plan, maybe has a 3D rendering, and maybe has, if it's a new build, it has an architectural site plan. They'll take that, a good construction manager, and be able to give you what's called a GMP with contingency, which is known as guaranteed maximum price with a contingency. Now, that's a very important thing. Remember back when we talked about design development, design build, where they would say, I'm going to build that thing for $1.5 million. Come or heck or high water. Well, this is a better option in the sense that this guaranteed maximum price is actually the project budget that is established. It has a contingency. All lending institutions require that contingency. So you know very early on what your project cost is going to be, and then we work from that. So as we're designing things, the construction manager is saying, yes, that works with the original thought of the guaranteed maximum price, and we can continue on down the road. So you don't run into a scenario that you go through all this design work, go through all these working drawings, you get to the very end, and you go out for bid, and lo and behold, the prices come in because of whatever reason, and you're 25% higher than your budget. Call that the oh shit moment, don't we, Mom?
Yes, I think more than that, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, oh crap, now what do we got to do? We got to either cut out some systems, we've got to cut out some ideas, reduce scope, go from, 10 ops to 6 ops because the number was too high because whatever reason, not anything particularly that we, the architect, did or anyone did. It's just costs were elevated that week. And so, having that, I guess you can see that having that construction manager on the team on a day-to-day basis, being part of this and being able to input is crucial. you're going to, again, you're going to save so much time, you're going to save so much energy, and you're going to end up saving money. Or, well, the way we like to look at it, you're going to actually end up building more for your money.
Yeah, Jim,
that's the thing we always try to accomplish, isn't it, Mark?
Yep. What Jim just described is that if you have to go back in and carve out part of the building because, you know, to meet the budget, that is a painful process. Because it's one of those things where you take one step forward and two step back, and that's when things like that happens. If the numbers are known up front, then we can design around that rather than design it and then discover that you want that 10,000 square foot building, but you can only afford six. It's a major, major disappointment. It's a major time killer, and it just takes the air out of everything when you come to that point or that discovery. So knowing everything up front or as much as you can will help to clear the way, help to define, confirm whether everything is in its proper order. So it's invaluable service to have. Jim?
Yes, it is. And again, the construction manager works for you. You don't have to worry about looking back and saying, did I get my money's worth, or did I get hosed? Did something happen behind my back and I didn't know about? No, you don't have that. It's always there. So here's another important part of the construction manager. They will bid to multiple bidders the individual project pieces. So your electrician, your electrical work, your plumbing work, your mechanical work, your drywall, your framing, the flooring, the painting, all the things necessary are bid to multiple bidders. So that's how you get the competitive bid process integrated into a construction manager system, or in this case, methodology. So it's there. You still get competitive bidding. And if you're lucky enough, you have a situation where a family member or a patient or someone that you got a good relationship with is in the trade, they want to be part of your project, they want to give you a big hefty discount because of that relationship, that translates directly through, and you get to realize that. Now,
Jim,
I guess you go ahead, man.
Now, could you clarify this? Okay, in the process, when the construction manager seek or solicit multiple bids, is there any given time where the number that come in get premium added to it because of the involvement of construction manager? Like a general contractor or design build for that matter, because they are contractors. They seek multiple bids from various subs, and whatever the number come in, and they need to add premium to that as part of their involvement, part of their administration, and profit and all that stuff. So compare the traditional bid with a general contractor versus multiple bids and submit to the construction manager. Is there a additional cost? That's the question. Is there added cost when the number come in?
No, they do not apply a percentage like a general contractor will. And next week we're going to talk about general contractor. We're going to go over that thoroughly, but you're right. A construction manager does not take upon himself a pile of liability, and thus he doesn't need to be compensated for that liability like what a general contractor would do because of that. So the liability that you talk about, because that's what you add that percentage to, is that's pushed to the subcontractor, or in this case, what they're called is the trade contractor. They take on their own liability, and it works out just fine. Actually, it works out in your benefit because actually it results in a lower cost to you, because just like anything, it's like an insurance policy. If you pay $10,000 for an insurance policy on a yearly basis, for example, and you never use that insurance policy because the incident doesn't happen, okay, you've lost $10,000. But yes, you had the insurance for that time. Well, no different than in the construction trade. Those things are kind of like insurance policies that the contractor puts in there to make sure that this subcontractor is going to do his job, he's going to perform. If he doesn't, I still have enough money to be able to hire them or hire someone else in their place because I had to get rid of them, and so on and so forth. Well, if that doesn't happen and the subcontractor works out real well, that money goes into the contractor's pocket, not yours. Well, if you have a guaranteed maximum price with contingency, that money's there. It's your money, and it goes back to you if you don't use any of your contingency. And that's what that contingency is for. So at the end of the project, everything goes perfectly. You have none of your contingency spent. You can do whatever you want with that money. You can pay down your debt. You can buy extra equipment that you were holding for phase two. You could do literally anything with that money, obviously based upon what the bank says. But yeah, that's a very important point, Han, is that that money is yours and you have control over it. Now, here's the question that I'm sure a lot of are thinking in their mind is, okay, how do I hire one? Well, it's kind of no different than when you hire an architect or designer like Han and myself. You send out, a request. We'll help you with that. That request for proposal is based upon what we put together in the way of a document for them to understand the kind of scope, the project size, the complexity, those kind of things. And then we'd ask for things like recommendations. We'd ask for how many dental projects you've done over your career, some references from some of those folks, so that just like anything, a construction manager, the better of two would be the one that has done dental work before. At least that's a good start. And so once you get that, their fee. Their fee is based on one thing and only one thing, and that's that proposal or that request for proposal. And that's their fee. It's not a sliding fee. It's not a sliding scale. It's not one of those things, well, if the project is $1.5 million, this is my fee, but if it's $3 million, this is my fee. Well, that's already been determined as into the size and the scope. It's the fee. So there's no advantage to them to make the building bigger because they're going to get more fee. There's no advantage to them to make the building smaller because they're going to make more money. They don't get any money as it relates to the project scope. So that conflict that we talked about back in design builds thing doesn't exist. They work for you and only you. And that's, in our mind, the best of all worlds.
That in itself worth big buck. You don't have no, you remove the incentive for any possible backdoor dealing. There is no additional financial incentive to fix the number, to increase the cost, nothing. It's a fixed rate. Their service comes, regardless of the size of the building, it's still the same.
So,
right, Jim?
What another thing it does is very important thing it does is it really greatly reduces change orders, because there's not an incentive to the construction manager to make more money because, well, we have a change order here, so I get an extra fee because of that change order. It's not there. There's no incentive for that. So if a change order comes through, it's a real change order based upon a real situation, like an unforeseen situation, like we found the massive boulder where the building was going to be and the soil borings didn't catch it. And so you will have to excavate this thing out of here, and it's going to cost extra money that nobody knew about because it was unforeseen. You know, those kind of real change orders, not change orders that are utilized to help push the price of the project up and make the contractor more money. That doesn't exist, and there's no need for that. And especially with the good quality construction managers, because of their communication skills and their ability to manage the project and schedule it properly, conflicts, which sometimes relate to change orders, are minimized greatly. So conflicts between trades, electricians and plumbers, and, you know, electricians and drywall, steel stud guys, you know, all those kind of things, it's all scheduled out and everyone knows what's going on. So, you know, it's very important to get the right one. Just like in anything, it's very important to get the right architect designer. It's really important to get the right construction manager. But when you have that, it's smooth. And I guess we can't speak more about how good thing it is. Now, from a construction manager side, what's the contract kind of thing look like? Well, the good thing about it is construction managers have been around a long time. And the American Institute of Architects, AIA, actually has documents, legal contracts that have already been prepared that integrate a construction manager into the team. So you've got a great set of documents to work from to use as a basis to form your written agreement with your construction manager. And it outlines exactly who does what they're responsible for, who they report to, the whole established criteria. And this is all documents that have gone through many, 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 many legal issues and been refined. And so they're established. So I guess we would always recommend that if at all possible, utilize that kind of contract with your construction manager so that you can take advantage of that. Take advantage of that knowledge and that expertise and that knowledge base to be able to hire that. So you're going to directly have a contract with the construction manager. So you're going to have a contract with us, your design architect team. You're going to have a contract with your construction manager. Now, there's a whole bunch of other contracts you're going to eventually have too. And that is, once the project is all bid out, you actually have contracts with every one of the trade contractors. So there'll be, but this construction manager team will pull these together. More than likely, there'll be the AIA contracts or the Construction Management Institute contracts. And they will outline exactly who does what they have to do, and what the fees are for those. Just like that open book transparency stuff, the contracts follow that same methodology. So you're going to have a contract with the drywall guy. You're going to have a contract with the electrician, the plumber, the HVAC guy. You're going to have a contract with the concrete company for the foundations, all those things. You're going to have multiple contracts. But, yeah, it sounds like a lot of work, but in reality it's not, because you have a team that helps you through this stuff and to understand it and actually gives you more control over the complete process, as opposed to kind of sitting in the dark wondering, did I get screwed? Or am I paying too much money for this? Or what in the world is this costing me over here? You know all that stuff, don't you, Hunt?
Hey, Jim. Question is, who does the trade contractor held accountable to? Is it the construction manager?
Nope.
The owner?
Owner. Owner. And by contract, the owner is the one who has the direct contract with the electrician, for example. But in that contract, the owner is presenting the construction manager as his advocate. So the construction manager has the authority to dictate to the electrician what to do, how to do it. So that's what's so important about having the right kind of documents. When I say documents, I mean contracts in place. And again, you know, Han and I aren't giving you legal advice. You've got a lawyer, or hopefully you have a legal team, and you can let that person help you work through those things. But that's how it should work. But you're right. The construction manager does not have the authority. He or she does not have the authority to make decisions for you. All he or she has is the authority to represent you. Yes, huh?
Does the construction manager do not provide technical advice on a project? Am I correct?
Correct. When you say technical advice, no. They are not designing things. So they're not going to say, you know what's the best possible HVAC system for this building? It's a forced air rooftop gas-fired unit that has both air conditioning and gas heating. That's not what they provide. They don't provide that kind of information. Now, you've got a design team that's going to say those things. Now, what that construction manager is going to say is, okay, you're talking about a 5-ton forced air rooftop unit with air conditioning, gas utility to create the heat. It's going to cost X. The last thing is the most important thing. He's going to say, this is what it should cost you in the way of budgetary. Now, if the engineer says, well, maybe we want to go to a different system, a hybrid system, a mini split system, for example, maybe a whole bunch of mini splits to go to each one of the operatories. So each operatory has its own mini split system. So you can control the heating in operatory 4 differently than the cooling in operatory 7. Well, the construction manager is going to say, great, and this is what's going to cost you. But you know that before a single thing gets built or before a single thing gets installed, that's when you need to know those things so you can make the appropriate decision. Because obviously one's going to cost more than the other. And so you may say, yeah, I'd love to have the opportunity to be able to have that much control over my operatories when it comes to heating and cooling. Okay, here's what it costs. Here's how it's going to work. And does it fit within your budget?
Now,
it all says yes. That's what you do.
The construction manager provide feedback and input relating to costs. The technical team provide the pros and cons of the system that being proposed. So that way you have all the necessary information, at least the bulk of information that allowed you to make the right decision based on the value that, you know, the long-term value you're looking for. So if the forced air, for instance, may cost, let's say, $15,000 per unit, but the mini split costs you $2,500 or $3,000 a piece times 10. At least you know what the cost, the initial cost is. And you weigh the pros and cons and how it functions and the flexibilities and all that stuff, and you can make the right decision. So you have the entire team help you with the necessary information to give you to allow you to make the best decision long term for your building. Jim?
Definitely. Exactly. Now we've talked about all these wonderful things that construction, basically they're better than sliced bread. I mean, it's amazing, right? Well, are there some disadvantages? Well, of course, there's always disadvantages. One of the biggest disadvantages is selecting a qualified construction manager. Okay. You really have to do your homework. You have to have professionals like ourselves to help you through that. so that you do, in fact, get the very best construction manager. Because just like anything, if you don't have a high-quality team member, it's going to hurt the team, and it's going to hurt your project. So if your construction manager is mediocre, you're going to end up with a mediocre project. And, you know, our goal, of course, is to get you the very best possible solution for your dollars. And so, obviously, it's in our best interest to help you get the very best construction manager so that you can set yourself up to succeed and have the very best possible final project. Now, I know we've asked for, and this one actually relates to specifically, emails that came in, and one of the emails that came in that just, it's kind of coincidence, but it says, what is an owner's rep and how does that integrate into the design process? Well, just like we talked about before, when people sometimes confuse construction managers with project managers, and another term is owner's rep. Now, we know what representatives are. You've got equipment reps. You've got supplier reps. Going on. We've got all kinds of reps out there.
You've got lots of reps.
Yeah, you got lots of reps. And what the heck is an owner's rep? Are they the same as a construction manager? What do you think?
No. I think that the name an owner's rep could be pretty much anything. A construction manager is a different ballpark.
Yeah. The owner's rep, and Han and I have been in this business for a long time, and we've seen a lot of people out there that have done a lot of things and called themselves a lot of different things. But typically, an owner's rep is basically not even in the same ballpark as a construction manager. An owner's rep does one thing and only one thing, and that person represents the owner in all the decision-making processes. Okay. And 9 times out of 10, they're not managing the project. Or if they are, they're actually pushing or delegating management responsibilities to other entities or team members within the team itself. So what we've seen happen is owner's reps will say, well, I'm managing the project, but in reality, all they're doing is pushing the management responsibilities down the road to the next layer. And the next layer might be a contractor. So the owner's rep is saying, actually, contractor ABC Contracting, I want you to be the lead contractor on the project, but we're going to work this like a construction management project. And so you need to do this, 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 and this. So basically, it's just one level, another layer of someone being involved or separating you from the team. Some people see that as an advantage. Others see it as a disadvantage. I know personally, I think it's a disadvantage because it's actually someone that gives you information secondhand. And unless you really, really, really trust that owner's rep to represent you in all things, I wouldn't want to have an owner's rep over a construction manager. I'd much rather have the construction manager who I'm having the contract with. Because the owner's rep does not have a contract with anybody other than what his agreement is with you. And it's not a construction management agreement, so it's some kind of other ambiguous agreement that sometimes doesn't work real well. And so a lot of times we see it kind of go sideways, and it's just a layer of middlemen?
Fat.
You know, yeah.
It's a layer of unnecessary fat.
Yeah, and it's like it doesn't help you. it may take the load off you as the doctor a little bit, but you better darn well trust that person immensely, because they're making decisions for you. You know, if you're comfortable with that, you know, maybe that's okay. I wouldn't be, especially in, you know, in this kind of scenario where, you know, decisions that are being made have large dollars attached to them, and it impacts the rest of your career with your new facility and all your staff and your family and everything else. You know, so real careful about trying to and the worst thing you can have happen is substitute an owner's rep in for the construction manager and not even have a construction manager on the job. That's just a recipe for disaster. And so many times you end up at the end of the project when there's issues or whatever, it's people pointing fingers at other people. And guess what? That owner's rep is never standing in the place where he gets a finger pointed at him or her, mostly him. I don't want to mean to be sexist, but I've never seen an owner's rep that is female in all the years I've been building, because I just don't know why. Now, you'll find a lot of good lady construction managers. But so an owner's rep is not someone that we would highly recommend to be part of the team. You can have them, but make sure you have them for the right reason and not because you're trying to replace them, or maybe they seem like they're cheaper. Because in reality, they're not. I think we kind of beat this thing pretty hard. What do you think?
I think it's kind of obvious that we didn't have good experience with owner's rep.
Yeah, obvious.
Right?
It's hard for us not to be obvious. That's why we call our show Straight Talk.
It's hard for us to be biased on that point. Or non-biased.
Yeah, we're very biased.
Non-biased.
Yeah, we're very biased and opinionated. But, and we'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That's fine. It is what it is.
Remember. Yeah, after all, the program is called Straight Talk. All right?
Yeah.
So
we're
just telling you straight.
We're giving you our opinion based upon years and years and years of experience of doing this stuff. And, you know, a construction manager is a good one. It's a very good thing to have as part of your team. They give you input from day one. They help you manage the project from a timetable standpoint, which results in setting your guaranteed maximum price with the contingency, so you're protected. They can help you create your budget. They can help you with cost control. They're crucial to the team, because their input early on will give you the maximum ability to save money. And the biggest and probably the most important part is everything is open book. So everything is open. You know how much that wall costs. You know how much that flooring costs. You know how much it costs to buy, how much it costs to install, and you know who's doing it. So, I mean, when you think about it, you have total control over all of it. You have the team members in place to help you make sure that it's a success. And it's a win-win-win. We're always an advocate for having a good, good quality construction manager on the job.
Jim, in terms of information flow or information and communication flow, everything from the trade people flow through the construction manager. The construction manager is the conduit in communication between all of the team members, correct?
Exactly.
Including the owner.
Exactly. So no one's left in the dark. That's right up there. That's what open book means. It's not just how much this thing's cost. It's the information. What's happening on the job today? We've got this technical issue. All right. A request has been made by a contract or a trade contractor that says, I'm confused. I don't know where to install this outlet. That comes through to the construction manager. The construction manager ships it off to the appropriate members of the team, and everyone knows what's going on so that they see that a question came through, the question has been answered, it comes back through the construction manager, from the construction manager back through to the trade contractor, and the trade contractor fixes the problem. So no one is left out of the dark. That's what they do. They manage everything. They manage all aspects of this thing. So if there's a question from a building inspector, for example, that comes through, walks through the project, has three questions, those questions get routed through the system to the appropriate people. The answers come back through to him. He then responds to the building inspector. Everyone knows what's going on because there are so many things that, and we see this on all the time. You make one change on a particular project. Let's say you want to move this wall, or let's change it. You want to change the space from a particular space to maybe a tenant space. All right. Well, that sounds easy enough, doesn't it? You just, okay, you got a wall there and you separate it. But now it's a different use. It's a different use from yours. The code says different things. With the code saying different things, that wall construction may change. And the wall construction changes. The architect needs to know about it. The engineer needs to know about it. The owner needs to know about it because there's a cost associated with it. And because of that, all the things that all the team needs to accomplish need to get integrated through. The construction manager now knows exactly what it has to be. He then instructs the appropriate people that says, okay, this wall has to have this kind of material on it because it's a fire-rated wall now. And he just implements what was changed on the documents. So it's crucial. A good quality construction manager.
It's quite important that the flow of information go to the appropriate party and everybody know. The scenario that Jim just described, for an owner, it's a simple change of, it's a wall. What's the big deal? It's a wall. For the rest of the team, technically, that wall go from a standard construction to a fire-rated door, a fire-rated wall, which require a fire-rated door, which require fire dampers. It require going from just above the ceiling to all the way up to the deck, so they have a full compliant fire-rated wall assembly. So there's costs associated with it. Technical update need to be to be put in place and stuff like that. So communication is so crucial, and the person in the construction management scenario. The construction manager is the liaison between the entire team. Everything flows through them. He's held accountable to the owner because of his or her contractual arrangement. But it's there's nothing left unturned. Everything is communicated accordingly. So it's really, really important. It's not a simple, hey, change that door or change that wall or move that wall, because everything is affected by it. Yep.
Now there's one last final thought I'd like to leave everybody with, and that is be very careful about in your selection of your construction manager that you don't accidentally get yourself a design build company who calls themselves the construction manager, or you get a general contractor who's calling themselves a construction manager. All right. You want a true construction manager. Now, there are very good groups, construction groups out there that can do both. They can act in either or. They can be a general contractor, or they can be a construction manager. Or they can be a design builder, or they can be a construction manager. But make sure that they understand the differences between the two delivery methods and are comfortable working in that direction, working as a true construction manager, and don't by default go back into, well, actually I'm going to call myself a construction manager today, but I'm going to do it as a design build. That's not what you want. If you wanted that, go hire a design builder. Or the same thing with a general contractor. You know, I'm a general contractor, but I'll call myself a construction manager. And then, you know, after I get the project, I'll just do it as a general contractor. Again, that's not what you want. You want a true construction manager. Yeah. So just be careful in that selection process. And that's one of the things that Hannah and I will look at when and if we're part of the team to be able to help you evaluate who you want to use as your construction manager. So with that, hopefully it's been educational. We obviously could continue on for quite a while. We're a little bit over time. And, you know, next week's show, we're going to talk about the construction general contractor and what that whole process is. So we look forward to that. And, Han, I'll let you have the last word.
Hey, let me add just a discussion this week on general town. Okay, and then I'll sign off. It has to do with this discussion involve installing a pan south unit in an existing space. There was discussion about how to support it, what to do to support it, and so on and so on. I think there's a lot of misinterpretation is that your tech guy, your dental technician installing the equipment is responsible for, you know, having everything in its proper place to, you know, to anchor the units to the wall or to the floor. If you have an existing space and you're installing new equipment, it is you, the owner, that's responsible for having the right people putting in the right support in the right place to accommodate the installation of the new equipment. It's not a matter of just simply slap it up. If it needs to be looked at by by engineer, structural engineer, do so. A competent contractor should be able to assist in the process. But it's not something that you want to leave in the hand of the installer to provide the proper structural support for your equipment. Okay, it's you spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a unit, and somebody say, you know, just stick it and lick it and put it on the wall. That's not the answer. So get the right help. Get the right people, you know, involved. It may cost you a little extra to assure that you have proper anchorage and proper support and all that before that equipment can start. That is all. But so signing off, I appreciate all of you for tuning in and listening to Straight Talk this evening. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.